Ebenezer family and friends, have you thought about heaven? Being connected with Jesus, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit for an eternity? Yeah, that's what we're going to be dealing with today as we get into the scriptures. I know that's heavy, but I'm telling you, I sense that it's getting closer and closer to Christ's return. And most importantly, there's a clock that's ticking for all of us, and God is beckoning us to get to know Him. I just want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com, staying connected so that we can all grow together. We have our Bible studies on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays so that we can be encouraged, that we can abide in God's Word. Remember that word, abide. So important to stay close to the will of God. Also want to thank you for staying in prayer for our 8:45 and our 10:45 in-person services and the 10 o'clock online. We've been able to reach so many people via this virtual platform to encourage so many people and to give sound doctrine, sound teaching. That is our goal in this time, this generation, this period of so many distractions and fears. But I want you to know that our God is faithful and He's still in the saving business. Well, I'm thinking about the word that I'm just anxious to get into. But before we get there, I want our hearts to be prepared as we think about the wonderful God we serve. See you soon.
Good morning to everyone. Good morning. So it's good to be here on this cold Sunday morning. But God is good. Our scripture this morning will come from the 100 Psalms. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful sound to the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanks for singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever, and his truth endures to all generations. May the Lord add a blessing to his great word.
I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside. Study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
I'm gonna put on my long white robe
down by the riverside.
I'm gonna put on my long white robe
down by the riverside. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
I'm gonna meet my loving Savior down by the riverside. I'm gonna meet my loving Savior down by the riverside. Study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
I'm gonna lay down my burdens
down by the riverside.
I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside.
Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
Do you love the Lord today? I'm telling you, just to be connected with Him and our steps being ordered of the Lord is everything. Well, we're back into this series of distractions and fears. And I am telling you, I was talking to someone the other day, and as they were reading through the Bible, I said, Pastor, I am seeing even more distractions and fear and the enemy trying to keep us from the path that the Lord has for us. The enemy knows that his time is short, and he knows that he's going to be locked up for an eternity in torment. And so he wants to make us miserable. He wants to get us off of the path that the Lord has really died for us through Jesus Christ. So as we get back into this series today, I really want you to focus on the calling of God in your life and what God has for you to do today. And that's where we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Don't forget about that 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Today's portion of scripture, we're continuing on from last message. We were in 1 John chapter 2, and we want to continue that progression. So we want to look at the 25th verse, 1 John 2:25. It reads, "And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life." And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are, Lord. Just welcome your presence, Lord. And even as we are connecting virtually, Lord, and so many people, it seems, and this season and time are going through, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. I pray for those who aren't saved, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved, Lord. I thank you for that it's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift from you that we will receive that gift in abundance in all of our lives today, Lord, and apply it as we walk in you. Now, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You are our teacher, our guide. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you, Lord. You be magnified in all. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak from a subject today, living this life to live again. Living to live again. This is so a powerful thought, living to live again, simply because so often we can get caught up in just living for this particular life, not realizing or even want to comprehend that there is an afterlife, there is an eternal life, and there's choices. There is the one that's in hell, and there's the one that's going to be in heavenly bliss with our Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit forevermore. But the enemy's job really is to distract us, to keep us in fears, to keep us just kind of going in the same old circle, never really making the effort to spiritual growth and seeking God's true will for our life. John P. Key, he sang this song, "I'm living this life just to live again. And with the Lord, I know that I shall reign. I shall not stray. With him, I'll stay. He'll welcome his children home one day. Like a thief in the night, he shall return for me. That's the day that he'll come and fly away, you'll see. Jesus will welcome me home. I shall see him for myself. I shall meet him in the air." Living to live again. That embodies what we're going to talk about today, that we really can get on track to hear the voice of the Lord, that still small voice, and walk, fight through these distractions and fears that are upon us all. From last time we were in 1 John 2:19 was our focus scripture. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." And our title was, "Will I See You at the Finish Line?" 1 John, really, as we look at it, has a lot of poetical stanzas, a lot of repetition. And as you're reading it sometimes, you can kind of get tongue-tied in there because he wants to emphasize the points over and over again. I want to review the points that we brought out from last Sunday's message. We must choose. A choice has to be made. God's will supersedes everything. The last hour. Continue in the faith. We are anointed to walk in the truth. And that's our pivotal point today, that anointing of God that really gives us understanding of what the truth is in this world of distractions and fears. Time frame is about 95 AD. John, this elder getting close to seeing Jesus himself, man, he is encouraging the flock. False teachers, Gnosticism, big word, thought they had a superior knowledge, were teaching the people, and many were going astray. They were really connecting with a different gospel that was not the gospel of Christ. So John writes, he talks about what true fellowship is all about, and walking in the light, and that we have to confess our sins, that when we find ourselves drifting away, to be quick to confess our sins. He talks about the obedience to God's commands, and all of this tied together really brings us back to our pivotal point, also loving one another. I'm telling you, when we get what God is speaking to us, love is automatic. We're connected to one another. In amen, we realize that it's bigger than physical DNA that connects us, but we are saved and have been delivered and set free. Let's jump into this text in 1 John 2:22. "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." Here's our first point. Are you living in denial? Are you living in denial? Now, I'll be honest, that first verse that we read, that 22nd verse, says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" I remember reading that as a youngster, and I was brought up in a household that to say lying or liar, it was like a cuss word. Now, I know you're like, really? Yeah, it was. You just couldn't say that someone lied or someone was a liar. And when I read this in the scripture, I was like, wow, this was amazing that the Holy Spirit, I was like, like, man, he brings this such a strong word out. But even now as we read that, it's bringing out the truth that we have to embrace the Spirit of God. And there are a lot of liars in this world. There are a lot of people that are walking down a path that is not truthful, that are living lives of deception. Are you living in denial? These scriptures actually transition us continually from last Sunday about that we have that anointing walking in truth. John is talking about false teachers and false believers that had actually indwelt within the fellowship. Yeah, it is. It is in our day and time that so many times that people can come in that don't really believe, don't have the right concept of who Jesus the Christ is. And consequently, the ways of the worlds can mingle in and try to mingle with spiritual things. And so we find ourselves, as we talked about last Sunday, lukewarm. And God said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Remember Luke 6:43. It says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. 44. Listen to this. For every tree is known by its own fruit. The question is, what type of fruit are you bearing? Am I bearing? Every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush, living to live again. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm telling you, what's on the inside is going to come out. We should be living this life to live again, but the process, so often we live this life just to live. We're not thinking about everlasting life. We're not thinking about standing before a Father God and hoping and believing for Him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. The question is, how are we truly living? Can we be living in a state of denial about our spiritual growth, about where we should be? We've been encouraging you to get into more prayer. We've been encouraging you to get into more scripture reading and more praise and more worship in your private time. I'm telling you, saints, we have to really take ownership of where we are in this time of distractions and fear, and to make sure that we're not living a life of denial. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:32. He says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. 33, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven, living to live again. The fact is, our life is worth something. The fact is, if we are saved and we have been delivered and set free, we have received that for a purpose. And God is saying that by our living, we are either embracing Him or denying Him. Yes, we are embracing Him or denying Him. Could you be living a life of denial? Could we be living a life of denial? So often we get caught up and the enemy can come in, and my concern at these distractions and fears can last so long that some of us will go 10 and 15 and 20 years, and right when God is getting ready to call us home, we realize that we wasted so much time. But I want us to have our eyes open. I want us to have a revelation of what the Spirit is doing in this season, living to live again. Look at 1 John 2:24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Here's another point. Stay with the Word. Yes, stay with the Word. Now, if you notice in those scriptures, John has a lot of repetition as he's being led of the Holy Spirit. And we hear abide. God. Abide. Stay with God. Stay in the Word. Remember, Christ is the Word. He is the centrality of our whole faith and belief. We've got to stay with Him. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. He is the Word. Our whole connection is with Christ. John 1 and 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Notice this, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Please, in essence, as we walk in Him and we connect with Him, His light shines through us. Remember, He talks about that the light that He's given us, that we have to let that shine before men, that they can know that our God is alive and well, and souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Are you living to live again? Theologian MacDonald, he writes of the context of this scripture. He says this, listen to this, this refers to the teachings of the Lord Jesus and all of His apostles. Our great safety is to stay close to the Word of God. Just in the chat, put Word of God. We've got to stay close to the Word of God. As you're sitting in your living rooms, or maybe you're on break, say the Word of God. We've got to stay close to the Word of God. We should test everything by what do the scriptures say. If a teacher does not agree with the Bible, then we should reject it also. My concern in this season and generation of distractions and fears, that so often we're hearing teachings and people are prolificating and putting information out to us that we're not comparing it to scriptures. We're not looking contextually for ourselves. That's why it's so important this day to read the Word for ourselves. It seems that so many people are introducing new things in the culture, new things in the church. People are running from church to church, from place the place to hear the new preacher, the new thought, a new revelation. But Dr. Harry Ironson, a Canadian preacher, American Bible teacher, also in the 1800s through the 1900s, he talks about this. He said, if it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. Yes, this is so powerful. Again, if it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. Ecclesiastes talks about that and said, there's nothing new under the sun. I'm telling you, as you stay with God's Word and you understand about living to live again, that we are steady in Christ. Christ keeps us central. He keeps us founded within Him. Let's not forget this 1 John 2:25. This is the promise. This is really the gold in. It says, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Are you thinking about heaven? Are you thinking about being in the presence of God? We have eternal life. That is good news. There ought to be some amens that through this life of suffering and stress and struggle, that we know that God has prepared a wonderful place for us. Romans 10 and 8 says it like this, but what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. Just put in the chat, saved. Just to know that we have been saved, delivered, and set free, that's worth shouting for. Romans 10:10 said, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, listen, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. I'm telling you, living to live again. We understand if we believe on Him, we don't have to walk in shame, that we have the victory in our life, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that good news? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, living to live again. We've got to make sure that we make it through these distractions and fears, because we understand our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has set us free. We are living to live again. 1 John 2:26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Somebody say deceive you. You can put it in the chat. Deceive you. This is powerful. It says in that 27 verse, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. There's that word again. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Here's another point. The enemy wants to deceive you. Yes, the enemy wants to deceive us. He wants to get us off track. He wants to get us in a state of cloudiness. Can I say that? That we're walking around in this fog and we never fulfill that which God has called us to do. He wants us to deceive us. Some of the people within context of the scripture were so caught up in the new teachers and the new words and the new thoughts and deep words that they were actually neglecting God. They were neglecting His word. They were neglecting relationship. They were just caught up in the newness of the world and not realizing that these principles were founded from the foundations of the earth. Consequently, they were being deceived. They were just getting caught up. They were kind of like a fan club that never really knows the person who's singing the song. They're just around and they're going crazy, but they never connect with relationship. We have a picture of the enemy in the book of Revelation. This is really his character, Revelation 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, here it is, who deceives the whole world. That is his job. That is what he's doing. Can you see it? I'm telling you, if your eyes are open through the Spirit of God, there should be a heaviness within you to know that the enemy is about his job and he's doing his will. He knows that his time is short and his job of deception is going abroad. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast with him. The Satan and the demons, they're all working in this deception. He's trying to get us from living to live again. Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Somebody say all things. He will teach you all things. Thank God that he's put teachers in the body. But please understand, if the Holy Spirit is not using me, if the Holy Spirit is not speaking, it is not what God would have. We need God's presence coming forth. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Yes, the enemy is trying to deceive us, but as we really lean strongly on God and his Spirit on the inside and to make sure that we're saved and know that we know that we know him, we can make it through these distractions and fears. We must stay in the world. We remember David, the psalmist, he brings this out in Psalms 119:9. He said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I'm telling you, in our lives, as we go through these struggles and pains, we've got to realize, we've got to take heed to God's word. And he says in Psalms 119:10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you, living to live again. That's what it's all about, holding on to God's word, holding on to whom he is, and it's got to be hidden in our heart. And the only way that we can hide it in our heart, we've got to have a present relationship with the Lord. We've got to be connecting with him on a daily basis. We got to know that we know that we know that we know him, because he has been so faithful to us, living to live again. Look at 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. There it is again. That when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Here's another point I've been building up to this. Abide in him. Yes, abide in him. Now, we've heard that word over and over again. Biblically, abide means to remain stable or fixed in a state of love. I want to say that again. It means to remain stable or fixed in a state of love. Now this is bigger than one day a week. We when we say we abide in the Lord, it means I'm with them on Monday. I'm with them on Tuesday. I'm with them on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm with them on my job. I'm with them in the grocery store. I'm with them with my family. I am abiding in him. I'm abiding in his word. When I'm walking and I'm making decisions, I'm hearing that still small voice. God is with me and I am with him. Please understand, some people have limited and try to define abiding by one day a week or going to a church. Thank God for the fellowship that we can come to the building, but we are the church. Please understand, God's thought pattern has always been that we be connected closer and closer, that we abide in him. Jesus said this, John 15:7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Could that be possibly where our struggles are coming from, while we're falling to the wayside because we are not abiding in His Word, and therefore we don't even know the right things to ask from God? John 15:8-9, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." How much fruit is on your tree? He says He wants us to bear much. As we begin to live again, we bear much fruit. Verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." We've got to stay faithful. Man, stay in that love. Stay close to the Lord. John 15:10, "Living the living in. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Living to live again. Don't you want to live a life of that? That even as we're on this terra firma, even as we're in this world of struggles and distractions and fears, we can have full joy. Yes, yes, yes. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We can have struggles, as said before, in our lives, but we can lift up our hands and say, when we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for us, and something should roll like a wheel in a wheel in the middle of a wheel, and we should think about that, and we can say, "My soul shouts out hallelujah." There ought to be some saints that just take a praise break and say, "Yes, yes, I want to live again, because God has been so good to me." Let me look at this final verse of the day. 1 John 2:29. "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." Now, I want to read that again. Please get this. This is really the pinnacle to this section. It says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." Final point, born again. Yes, born again. The question is, have we been born again? Have we truly been changed and delivered? Because I believe, man, if you have been born again, even though we mess up, even though we have times that we get off track, God is always pulling at our hearts. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how much you run. If you've been born again, if God is coming to your heart, you will never be the same. There are any witnesses out there? Because God, He is always beckoning us, and the Spirit of God is always moving and wants us to abide more in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He really gives a great summary of what it means to be born again. Somebody say, well, what does it truly mean to be born again? John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, that's the basic foundation. You got to be converted. You got to be changed. You got to truly come to the point of living to live again, because if you're not born again, if you're not changed, then you cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3:4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." There has to be a change. There has to be a connection. There has to be a relationship. Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." My concern is there's so many people that's been born of the flesh, but they have not been born of the Spirit. And I say it again, they've been born of the flesh, but they have not been born of the Spirit. There are people that call themselves Christians and call themselves saved and delivered, that they've been born of the flesh, but they have not been born of the Spirit. They have not been born again. Verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Yes, living to live again. Jesus brings this over and over again. There has to be a change as we're in this life of distractions and fears. We've got to know that we're connected with Jesus. We've been born again. John 3:8, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Saints of God, this is a season. This is a time that the saints will rise up. I am telling you. And you say, Pastor, what does that mean to rise up? It just means to come spiritually aware of who we are. And we realize that if it had not been for God on our side, if we are born again, that means that the fruits of spirit have to begin to matriculate from our lives. There can't be any doubt. People have to know that we're on the Lord's side. Righteousness begins to flourish via God's spirit on the inside of us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 sum this up. But the fruit of the spirit is love and joy and peace and long suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. Are you living to live again? I'm telling you, that is why Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth and walked among men. That's why he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why he's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. That's why he allows them to beat him all night long. That's why he goes to the cross of Calvary, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet, so that we could live to live again. He carries our griefs and bears our pains and sets us free on that cross of Calvary, cries out, "It's finished." He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but I'm so happy to tell you, 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory so that we could live to live again. Saints, I realize there's so many distractions and fears that have been set amongst us, but I'm telling you, as we said within the scriptures earlier, when we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, our souls should shout out hallelujah. I'm telling you, not just one day a week, but as we get closer to him, there should be praise on Monday. As we get closer to him, there should be some worship on Tuesday. As we get closer to him, there should be some thanksgiving on Wednesday. As we get closer to him, there should be some celebration on Thursday. As we get closer to him, there should be some excitement on Friday. As we get closer to him, there should be more deeper revelation of him. As we're connected with him, as we're thinking about all that he's done for us, because we're living to live again, to show this world that our God is alive and well, and he's saving souls. Yes, he's saving souls even this season. The scriptures lets us know the reason he has not come back yet is because more souls are here to be saved. I mean, if you're listening today and maybe you're looking and you're going, I am not saved. I have not been born again. I've been living this life, but not to live again. Man, this is your day. I beckon you, look at the world. Man, it is deteriorating quickly. Countries are falling apart. Crazy things are happening. Even in our own sphere of influences, we're seeing strange things. Man, it's signs of the times to let us know that Christ is soon to return. But I'm telling you, don't you want to be in the kingdom of heaven? Don't you want to be with Christ forevermore? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And it says you will be saved. That is good news to know that you're saved. And there's some saints that need to type it again. Saved. I'm saved. I thank God that I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. That is what relationship is all about. To know that you know that you know. I've said that over and over. That we are connected with him. To the saints that know about the relationship, I believe God is calling us all to go deeper in him, to love on him more, to increase our prayer times, to increase our scripture reading time, to really produce those fruits of the Spirit as the Spirit takes control of us more and more as we submit our lives and we live to live again. Saints of God, I'm telling you, I want all of us to get to the end of our race and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for using the Elder John to speak into our lives via the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you, God, to giving us understanding that there are enemies of the church. There are deceivers that the enemy wants to get us off track. Oh Lord, he wants us to get us living in a cloud, that we never fulfill that which you've called us to do. But Lord, I thank you that today it's been pulled back. That the sun is shining. Oh Lord, that we receive who you are, that we embrace your word, that our relationship becomes stronger with you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for being born again. Thank you for the reality of living to live again. Lord, help us to finish strong. Thank you that souls are being saved, delivered, and set free. Thank you for your saints are becoming stronger in you, God, that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? He's all right. What do you think about Jesus?
He's all right.
Oh, he's all right. All right. All. What do you think about the Holy Ghost? Think about the Holy Ghost.
He's
all right. What do you think about the Holy Ghost? What do you think about the Holy Ghost?
He's all right.
All right. All. What do you think about the Trinity? What do you think about the Trinity? They're all right. What do you think about the Trinity? They're all right. Oh, what do you think about the Trinity? They're all right. They're all right. All right. All right. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's all right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's all right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
He's all right.
He's all right, all right, all right. Amen. Praise God.
We just want to thank you for taking this time to connect with us in communion. We get to share every month, at least one time a month, in this holy time. And as we started talking about today's message and heaven, thinking about being connected with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for an eternity, and fulfilling the call that's within our lives, living to live again. What a perfect time to take a communion, to help us to remember what Christ has done for us. Before we get into the scriptures to really get our heart prepared, I just want to go in a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask my wife to open us up in prayer, and also pray over the bread and pray over the juice as we really embrace, we abide in Jesus. Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for his blood that cleanses us from all our sins and all our iniquities, and that because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we now belong to the family of God. We praise you and thank you for your sacrifice, for his sacrifice, and for all that you've done for us. Help us to walk worthy of all that you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I pray that you've got your articles, bread, juice, and you're prepared. That you really, and we're going to talk about examine. You're examining yourself, making sure that there is nothing that would hinder you for taking this communion in a worthy manner. Even before Bianca and I started, I was like, we good? Is there anything? And she goes, not now. it's just a blessing to be free. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to grab those or your devices and read along. We generally always go to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:23. So if you can get there, and I really want you to process what Paul the Apostle is saying as the Spirit of God has given him a revelation of what communion is all about. That 23rd verse, this is, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which has been broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come." That is huge. That is huge. That when we take of this communion, that we are proclaiming who Christ is and that he has died and been resurrected for us. Bianca, let's talk about this examination part in that 27th verse.
"Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world."
Amen. So as you examine yourself, we want to make sure, man, we're not holding any unforgiveness. There's no unconfessed sin that the Lord has been dealing with us. Take time now. He said in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Man, if you need to connect with somebody to ask them for forgiveness, you know, you can push pause right now. This is recorded. You can play it again so that you can make sure that you're right, that your soul's right with the Lord. I want you to grab that bread. And as we grab that bread together, I want you to think about Christ. Think about him going into that upper room. And as he went into that upper room, it's that final Passover before the crucifixion, the disciples are really clueless. Even though he's told them that he's going to have to die for them, they're just not getting it. But he grabs that bread and he breaks it. And he says, "This represents my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." He grabs the goblet. The goblet was generally shared amongst the table, but I can see him picking that up and he said, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you." I think the reality begins to sit in amongst the disciples as they're hearing this. He says, "Often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together." Aren't you glad to be saved, to be born again, to be delivered, to be set free? Man, as you go through your day, I want you to make some steps, as we talked about in the message. Take those steps to get closer to Jesus. Spend more time in prayer, more time in the scriptures, more time in praise and worship, more time in true relationship with him, that you can know that you know that you know that you have been born again. Man, thank God for Jesus and what he's done for us. Let's live to live again. Until we meet again, you be blessed.